First Corinthians chapter 1. I beg your pardon, First Corinthians, I beg your pardon, First Corinthians. From verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God stronger than men. And then a short passage from the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 32. Now it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshipped God, there was Hushai the Archite coming to meet him with his robe torn and dust on his head. David said to him, if you go on with me, then you will become a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I was your father's servant previously, so I will now be your servant. Then you may defeat the counsel of Ahithophel for me. And do you not have Zadok and Abiathar the priests with you there? Therefore it will be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall tell to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Indeed, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimeaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them you shall send everything you hear. So Hushai, David's friend, went into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Father, we thank you for your word and we commit ourselves to you now so that by your Holy Spirit you would use it to open our ears and open our hearts to what you have to say to us today. Amen. Amen. Please sit down. Just had a young people's weekend, and we have been considering in the times that I've been speaking on what it means to be a friend of God. This tremendous statement that the Lord Jesus brings in the Gospel of John and chapter 15, where he says, I do not call you servants any longer, but I have called you friends. And we were looking at something of the privilege of that, something of how to come into it, and something of the characteristic of friendship. Just for those of you who weren't there, which is probably everybody over 25, I would encourage you to get a concordance out and to look at particularly the statements in the book of Proverbs on friendship. Because there's much there to instruct us, not only about our own friendships, but particularly, I would suggest to you, about what it is to be a friend of the Lord and those characteristics. But I want to go on with that today, and really we could look at various things. We could look at one particular example of friendship, Abraham. Three times in the scripture, twice in the Old Testament and one in the New, is called the friend of God. What is it about that man that made him the friend of God? Well, I'm going to leave you to do your homework because I'm not going to be speaking about Abraham today. Suffice to say, though, just to challenge us all, that Abraham is the father of those who are in the faith. And therefore, if he is called the friend of God, the challenge and encouragement to us all is that every one of us who walks in the way of faith can also be a friend of God. Indeed, that is the only way to become a friend of God. That is to say, that is the only way to be able to hear his voice, to enter his heart, and to have something of a fellowship and a companionship with him. Faith is the only way that that's going to happen. You can't earn it, you can't deserve it, and you need to learn what it is to walk by faith. Well, we're going to look at another example of friend, of what it is to be a friend. And this is a man who perhaps some of you may not have heard of and may not have read, and his name is Hushai. And he is called in that the end of that reading the second book of Samuel, chapter 15. He is called David's friend. And in that chapter and in the following two chapters, we see how this man is a friend of David. But I want to apply it because I believe that is why it's there in the scripture for us in the following way. If Hushai was David's friend, he teaches us a lot about the friendship that God, as our king, wants to have with us. Are you the king's friend? Here is a verse from the book of Proverbs, one of those I mentioned. For the pureness of heart and the grace of speech, his lips, the king will be his friend. Such was Hushai. So we're going to look at Hushai. A little bit about him, first of all. Not that there's much that is known, and I think that's significant. But his name means hasty, or making haste. He was, well, I don't want to read too much into this. He was a man who had the energy to live life at breakneck speed. Because one person in this room who I can think of fits that bill exactly. But I won't embarrass John Christopher by telling you who his name is. Hasty. And that's not meant critically. It's meant that somebody full of energy, full of excitement and enthusiasm. But the trouble about such a person is that they're very difficult to pin down. The trouble about such a person is that they can flit from one interest to the next, etc. Friendship takes time. It's difficult to make a friend of somebody who is excitable like that. And that's meant as no criticism, please, of John. Eagerness. Are you like that? But you know, here is somebody, the king was his friend. David was his friend. And friends, I think this is great, actually. You know, you may be of that character. God loves those kind of people. And you can be a friend of God like that. Now, as I say, that may be reading a little bit too much into it. Where I know I'm on safer ground is where he comes from. He's known as Hushai the Archite. Now you say, what on earth does that mean? I'll tell you. It means he came from a place called Erech. And Erech was in Babylon. He was a Babylonian. He was not a Jew. What is the king of Israel doing as a friend, and not just one of many? He is called here the friend of David. What is he doing? Making a friend of somebody from that part of the world. Babylon was going to become the enemy of Israel. Now, friends, I think this is marvellous. Because spiritually, you and I are the enemies of God, aren't we? Because of our sin. Spiritually, you and I are born in Babylon. That's our origin. And when eventually the Babylon emerges, the spiritual Babylon that the book of Revelation speaks about, if we are not born in Christ, if our origin is not as a citizen of heaven, that is where we'll be found. Your English, Welsh, or whoever you are, nationality won't be the main thing. You'll be part of Babylon. And the marvellous thing is that God takes somebody who by nature is a sinner, an enemy of God, an enemy of his people, and he can make them a friend of God. Friends, this is incredible, isn't it? Little wonder that there's a psalm devoted to this. I think it's 82, 86, I think it is, 87, one of the three. And it talks about this one. Talks about how beautiful Zion is, and it talks about those who've been born in Zion, and it includes people who've come from Babylon and Philistia and other places, born in Zion. Marvellous. It's Psalm 87, I think. So Hushai the Archite, in a sense, had everything against him, but he's known as the king's friend. Did David had any other friends? Yes, possibly. How many friends do you have? I think, I may be wrong, but I think in my experience, real friendship, you can probably count on the fingers of one hand. I don't know how many friends David had, but he's known as David's friend. Now, if you go, but please don't, unless you really want to check up on me, which you're entitled to do, but if you go to the first book of Chronicles, and by Chronicles I do mean Chronicles, not Colossians or Corinthians, chapter 27, at the very end of that chapter, you will see again a reference to Hushai, but at the end of a whole lot of other names. And this chapter, amongst many others, it details for us how the various jobs and roles and divisions were put out in Israel at the time. And I'm not going to go into all the detail about it, but from verse 25, it talks about various people. Asmapheth, the son of Adiel, was over the king's treasuries. He was the Philip Hammond of the age, I suppose, God help him. And Jehonathan, the son of Uzziah, was over the storehouses in the fields and in the villages. Esri, the son of Kelub, was over those who did the work of the field for tilling the ground, etc. And then let's move to verse 34. Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counsellor, a wise man, and a scribe. And Jehiel, the son of Hachmoni, was with the king's sons. He was like the nanny. I mean, how did David bring up seven children? With the rule the kingship that he had. Well, he had help from this particular man. And I don't think he was passing the buck particularly, but he was just saying he was with the king's sons. He made time to get alongside them. Ahithophel was the king's counsellor. Note that man, we will refer to him later. And Hushai the Archite was the king's companion, or the king's friend. The king had many people who had learned to be his servants. He had many people who were responsible for the work of Israel and Judah. And they were faithful men, and I don't want to knock them at all, but they were not called the friends of David. And there was one man whose name is Ahithophel, and he was the king's counselor. And you read about him in second book of Samuel, that the people who inquired at his mouth, from him, it was as if people asked at the oracle of God. Such was his wisdom, such was his esteem, such was his reputation that he's called the king's counselor. He had a faithful track record, and everybody thought he was, and indeed he was, the highest in the land as far as the wisdom that came from God is concerned. And yet, he is not called the king's friend. Now again, I think there's something encouraging for you from that. You know, you don't have to be the intellectual. You certainly not. You don't have to be the one who is able to understand every biblical doctrine in order to be the king's friend. Friendship is to do with companionship. friendship is to do with getting to know the person. Now, of course, we do need to understand doctrine. But being wise, being intelligent, being articulate is not the main thing. Well, I suppose what I'm saying is this. If you'd been in Israel before the days of 2 Samuel, who would you have heard about? Ahithophel or Hushai? I think you'd have heard of Ahithophel. He was the man who everybody would have heard of. That was his reputation. If you'd have asked him, if you'd asked somebody, who's Hushai? Nobody knew him. He was an unknown. Why? For the pureness of his heart and the grace of his lips, the king was his friend. He spent time with David. And that is all we know about him. Until the time of which we read in 2 Samuel. So my dear friend, please, in your aspirations for experience, for knowledge, for people to think well of you, etc., don't negate the fact, don't neglect the fact that actually God is looking for your friendship. God is looking for your fellowship. And you may be an unknown. You may not be appreciated. You may think, and other people may think, your life is going nowhere. But if you're a man or a woman who's walking by faith and learning to be a friend of God, that is more valuable than anything else. And in the long run, it counts. And it will count when the chips are down. Well, let's look and see what the chips were as far as David was concerned. In 2 Samuel, we're picking up the story of what happened at this time when there was civil war in the nation. There was a rebellion, and one of David's sons, Absalom, took over the throne by stealth. What is that saying to us? It's typical of our day. We have an enemy, a spiritual enemy, who has over the years, by stealth, got hold of the hearts of the British people, as Absalom stole the hearts of Israel and Judah. It's incredible that to me that no matter what David had done for the people, no matter what his reputation was, no matter how God had used that man, that how quickly and easily the people of Israel had forgotten him. And Absalom stole their hearts. And how quickly our memories fail us and forget. We forget what God has done. That's why Remembrance Sunday is so important. And the hearts of the British people have been stolen. So for David, what happened is that he had to run. He had to flee. And Absalom had become king. He had usurped the kingship. And various people, most of Israel, followed Absalom. But one or two, a few, went with David. And so we picked up the story in verse 32 of chapter 15. And Hushai had now gone with David. And David sees his friend. And he says to him, if, verse 34, if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I have been your father's servant hitherto. So we're looking at an example of friendship. What did Hushai's friendship with David entail? And what will that teach us about our friendship with the Lord? Various things to bring out from these verses here and from the following two chapters. David says to Hushai, say to Absalom, as you have been David's servant. So would you please notice, first of all, to be a friend of God, you need also to be a servant. You need to learn what it is to serve. Hence the words of the Lord Jesus, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Don't think you're a friend of the Lord Jesus if you can live in rank disobedience to his word. You won't do it. And if you think you're hearing from God and you're living in rank disobedience, you are not hearing from God. We need to be willing to serve. And verse 32, just going back. Hushai came to meet him. Verse 33, to whom David said, if you pass on with me, if you go with me. Actually, in this particular case, Hushai is now going to go back into Jerusalem, and we'll come on to the details of that. But being a friend of David, at least there was a willingness to go with David, even in his rejection. To be a friend of God, to be a friend of the Lord Jesus, means a willingness for you to go with him. To walk with him. That friendship must go through even in times when he is rejected. A friend, Proverbs, a friend loves at all times, it says in the book of Proverbs. And the brother is born for adversity. Are you going to love the Lord? Are you going to be his friend? Even in the days in which we live, when we are increasingly seeing the Lord being marginalized, if we're going to stand with him, that friendship is going to be costly. For Hushai, it meant leaving his home in Jerusalem. It meant leaving everything behind him. I challenge you, if you want to be a friend of God, you need to be willing to leave everything behind. Let go of everything. And so eventually, when Absalom sees Hushai, in the next chapter, he says to him, why did you not go with your friend? He was expecting Hushai to go with his friend. Can I ask some of you the same question? You say you're a Christian. Are you going with your friend? Or can it be asked of you, why aren't you going with your friend? You went with your friends when you got the blessing. You went with your friend when you got the blessing. Why aren't you going with him now? When it's costly to stand for the Lord? When it cuts against your own flesh? Why aren't you going with your friend? Do you see what your friend has done for you? Greater love has no man than this, than he gave his life for you. My son, my daughter, the Lord says to some of you, why are you running from him? Why do you esteem his sacrifice so little? Being a friend of the Lord means that we are willing to go with him, no matter what the cost. Verse 37. So David gives his his counsel. He says to Hushai, Hushai, please go back to Jerusalem and you won't be alone. If you're a friend of God, you won't be alone. In Jerusalem, there will be two priests. You'll be able to tell Zadok and Abiathar, and they've got two sons, Ahimeaz and Jonathan. And you can tell them everything that's going on, and they will come and tell me. That is the scenario that is being set out. So verse 37, Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came with all the pomp and ceremony and the trumpets, etc., in and the cheering, etc., into Jerusalem. Friend, here is a man who's willing to go into real danger. Real danger. He could have lost his life. He was willing to go into real danger in order to be faithful to his friend. Are you willing for that? Are you willing for that? Here is an example of friendship. But friend, go only where the Lord sends you. Hushai didn't sort of dream it up. The Lord Jesus said, behold, I send you as, what's the word, I send you as snakes among, no, sheep among wolves. The important thing is that you get sent. Don't just think, oh, I'm a sheep, I can cope with the wolves, thank you very much. You'll soon get destroyed, soon get eaten up. No, but if the Lord is sending you, that's different. Go where the Lord is sending you. And so Hushai is sent by David and goes in among the wolves. And so we then read a little bit later on, in the next chapter now, he sees Absalom from verse 15. Absalom and all the people and the men of Israel came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with them. Please notice that. And it came to pass when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, there you have it, was come to Absalom, Hushai said to Absalom, God save the king. God save the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this the kindness to your friend? Why did you not go with your friend? And Hushai then says these words, no, but whoever the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him I will abide. Can I paraphrase it like this? Whoever everybody wants is what I will go with. I will go with the crowd. The people of Israel have chosen their king. The men of Israel have chosen. The people of Israel have chosen. I will choose this person. My friends, if you go along with the crowd like that, you are going to be serving as king the God of Babylon, the God of this world. That'll be your king. And the extraordinary thing is that Hushai puts a kind of spirit. Now, he's tongue-in-cheek, you understand, all right? But it's here for us to learn something. The extraordinary thing is he puts a kind of spiritual slant on this. It starts off, but whoever the Lord chooses. The Lord has chosen Absalom. No, he hasn't. But he puts this kind of spiritual slant. You can put a spiritual slant on things. You can make a very good pretense of being a friend of God by putting a spiritual slant. Whoever who the Lord chooses. No, my friends, you need to know who the Lord is really choosing. Go with him. Him will I be and him will I remain. So, and he says, God save the king. Which king are you following, can I ask you? He goes with the crowd. And then what happens is that he says, I should serve in the presence of of his son. Just as I serve with David, I should also serve with Absalom. And then Absalom turns to Ahithophel. And I want to bring this character into the drama now. He turns to Ahithophel and he says, give counsel. Remember what we were saying about him? Everybody valued him. Give counsel among you as to what we shall do. And Ahithophel gives his counsel and Absalom follows it to the letter. And I'll leave you to read the details of it. Look at verse 23. The counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was also the counsel of David, of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. At this point, Hushai could have stood up and said, no, don't do that. I send you out as sheep among wolves. The Lord Jesus said, be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. If we're going to live in the world as God calls us to do, as a friend of God, we need to be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. And that means sometimes we need to keep quiet. We need wisdom, don't we? Be quiet. Chapter 17. Verses 6 to 8. Verse 1, actually. Ahithophel said to Absalom, let me now choose. Yes, so Ahithophel gives, arguably, strategically, militarily, the best advice that he could give, which is, give me the men and we'll go after David and we'll deal with him a death blow before he's got time to regroup. And then in verse 6, Hushai came to Absalom. Well, verse 5, Absalom says, let's call Hushai. See what he has to say about this. So Hushai says, comes to Absalom. Absalom spoke to him saying, Ahithophel's spoken like this. What do you think we shall do? And this is the time that Hushai gives his wisdom. Will you please notice that Hushai's wisdom is better than the counsel of Absalom? Ahithophel, his name means brother of foolishness. Brother of foolishness. And at this point, God begins to turn the counsel and the wisdom of Ahithophel into absolute folly. And Hushai gives arguably militarily stupid advice. But it's the wisdom of God. And it gives David the opportunity to escape, to go further away and to prepare himself, etc. And then a little bit later on in verse 14 and 15, we read that, that's where we read that God determined and appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel. And from verse 15, then Hushai gives the drama, gives the sense of what's happened to Jonathan and Ahimeaz, and off they run, and the thing proceeds from there. Friend, what I'm saying is this. If you are going to be a friend of God, you may be an unknown for years, but there will come a time when God can use you strategically. And it's better to be a Hushai than it is to be an Ahithophel. A number of extraordinary things to me about Ahithophel, just by way of contrast. He, at the end of this, when he sees that his counsel has not been followed, he goes back to his home, puts his affairs in order, and hangs himself. Why? I can only think that he suddenly realised in that time that everything that he'd worked for, everything that he'd aspired to, everything that he'd achieved, he saw it go completely to ruin, completely to waste. Ahithophel went after the wrong person. And friend, if you go after the wrong king, if you follow anybody else other than the Lord Jesus, eventually you may come to great wisdom, you may come to great riches, you may come to great experience, but actually you will see it all just go. Which is what is going to happen to the Babylon at the end of the age, we find in the book of Revelation. So I suppose the question I'm asking myself is, why did Ahithophel do this? What turned his heart? If you dig around a bit, you will find a most remarkable thing. His niece was Bathsheba. His niece was Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the lady with whom David committed adultery. It's not spelled out in detail, but I just wonder. Despite all his wisdom, there was something in his heart that wasn't dealt with. It was a desire. Was it? I asked the question. Was it a desire for revenge? Was it a desire to get his own back? Something hadn't been dealt with. And friends, that's the danger of not allowing the Lord to deal with us, is that actually we betray him. We back the wrong horse. And our lives are ruined. If you're going to be a friend of the Lord Jesus, allow the Lord to deal with anything in you that is looking for revenge, anything, any wrong motive, let the Lord deal with you. By the pureness of heart and for the grace of his lips, for the pureness of his heart and for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Again, it's not spelled out, but I think the principle is, if we're going to be a friend of the king, we need to allow the Lord to give us a purity of heart. And for the Lord to deal with our hearts, so that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why the reading in 1 Corinthians? Because as the Lord turned the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness, and used the seemingly foolish counsel of Hushai for victory, God, through the death of the Lord Jesus, has made foolish the wisdom of this world. The preaching of the cross is to those who perish foolishness. If you're not a Christian this morning, it's foolishness. The fact that God should choose that way of saving mankind, it's foolishness. And yet, for those who believe, for those who are saved, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. If you're not a Christian, can I encourage you, present the challenge to you? You're either going to go with Absalom, you're either going to go with the world and its wisdom and its achievements, which are foolishness as far as God is concerned, or put your trust in the Lord Jesus. Let him save you. He's died for you. Put your trust in him. Commit your life to him. And you will be able to become a friend of God. That's the tremendous privilege. The choice is yours. Shall we pray, please?